We're in part three now, which is the second reading. It's from Galatians 5:1, which is the first line of this chapter. It's the theme is freedom. And then from there, he develops it. He says, well, now I'm going to be called to freedom, and now I'm going to show you what that means. You can't make your freedom an excuse for something else, you know? Okay. So the text goes then, we can start with the verse 1. I can find out which one of these books I'm in. It's a data. Ti eleftheria imas Christos eleftherosin. For freedom, Christ freed us. So you're free. Free means what? Able to do what I want. That's why the freest person is somebody who just loves God so much, their will is so bound to God, that they're always doing what they want because they love God and they want to do what God wants. So they're free. I remember a man I used to know, he's dead now, a very great mystic. He was Jewish, suffered for years and years. He came over from Carpathian Mountains. And when he got to this country, he knew the Lord deeply. He was a Jew. And when he got over to this country, to New York, he lost it all. And for years, he went around like without God. He couldn't hold a job. He couldn't do anything. Until one day, and of course, anything that had to do with Catholicism. I mean, if he saw a priest, he'd walk to the other side of the road. If he saw a crucifix, he'd turn away and spit. I mean, it was pretty deep. So he was so sick, couldn't even kill himself, tried three times. And he walked in, he said, look, it's a hot day as only New York can be, with all those buildings roasting all around you on the sidewalk. He walked in, he said, there's a place, I'm going in there to get cool. And he walked in, and he got in there, and he sat down, and then all of a sudden he noticed, this is a Catholic church. He got up, he was going to run out, and a force just took him, put him on his knees, and said, Christ is God. And I've been a Catholic ever since. That's the way he talked. So, he was the freest person you could ever imagine, because he always did what God wanted. If we have time, I'll give you some other examples. So, see, Christ set us free for the sake of freedom. That's what you're supposed to be, free. Now, Father Lyonnais, who was one of my professors years ago, said freedom means doing what you want. So the secret of freedom is love. If you love the Lord, you always want what the Lord wants, and therefore you're free. Without love, there can be no freedom. There can be a freedom of motion, but not freedom of spirit. And so, you see, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. That's the theme. Then our text skips down to verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Now, what does he mean by flesh here? He means that innate drive in us toward self-aggrandizement, self-realization, self-promotion, self-comfort. There's a drive in us. You may have noticed it. And Paul calls that sarx. He says, so you don't make it an opportunity for the flesh. Now that you're free, so I'm a free man. I can drink a whole bottle of scotch. No, you can't. You lose your reason. See, you're only free when you're in the, you know, in the heart of the will of God. So don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. How do I stop that? Through love, serve one another. If you're at the service of your family, the service of your friends, the service of the parish, then you're free. Free does not mean doing what you want until you fall in love with Christ. And then what you want is what the Lord wants, then you're free. That man I was just talking to you about there, that man who became, you know, was a young Jewish fellow who came over here and lived 20 years in darkness, tried to commit suicide. Then the Lord came to him in that experience. He was in the church. A force just put him on his knees and said, Christ is God. Well, I've been a Catholic ever since. That's the way he talked. He would say things like, you know, you guys with the vow of obedience, you think you're the only ones? I got to do what the Lord tells me to do. That's freedom. And so, through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. In the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the secret to freedom. When you want to do that all the time, you're free, because freedom is doing what you want. So when the Lord transforms our hearts so that all we want to do is love Him and love our neighbor, we're so free. I know people would meet Charlie, my friend, and they would say, Charlie, you're so free, it scares me. You know, I'm not that free. These were monks. You see, it's a radical commitment to Jesus. Same thing we've been talking about up to now. Freedom, you see, vocation, call, being a disciple, comes down to loving Jesus. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Okay. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. That can happen. It can happen in a parish. Everybody gets in an argument over the songs we sing or something. And they're all fighting. Well, then Satan's happy. There'll be very little good come out of this parish because they're all fighting with one another, which is exactly what Satan wants. But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. You hear it again? Obedience, love, yielding to the Spirit. Well, that means we have to know what the Spirit wants. We have to pay attention to Him. I remember, I think I've told you when I taught up at Steubenville, and I would say to the students, don't leave your prayer time till you're heard from the Lord. Somebody would have a class at 8:30 in another building, and it's 8:20, and he'd say, Lord, Lord, please, talk quick, I got to get to class. I mean, if Father Martin sees me, he's going to ask me what you said. Tell me something so I can answer him. Those were the days. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. There's not just this statement of what you have to do. It's the empowering from inside to do it. And that's what Jeremiah predicted, right? Days are coming, says the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant I made before when I led them out of Egypt. This is the covenant I will make. I will place my law in their heart. It'll be an interior principle. Well, what is that interior principle? The Holy Spirit. People who are moved, I remember, as I think I already said already, people, you know, who are in the religious life, as well, they'd say, Charlie, you're so free, it scares me. Because he was just given over to the will of God. Now, he was prepared by 20 years and more of suffering, including a dark night. When that freedom burst on him, well, I've been a Catholic ever since. You see, at that point, he was a free man. Okay. And so, now, how do you get that way? Okay. It says here, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, alluding to the text we just heard about Elijah being taken up, the ascension. Notice, Elijah went up, and he left his spirit for Elisha. Jesus goes up, and he leaves his spirit, who is divine, for us. Okay. So he went and sent messengers. So now here's a bunch of refusals. They entered a village of Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. They went on to another village, and now these are all these call stories, like the one that we heard about there from Elijah and Elisha, or the ones I alluded to in the gospel. Someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." If you want to follow me, that's how you follow. Not a comfort. But that's one call, and it failed. The guy evidently didn't follow him. Well, it doesn't say that, but to another he said, "Follow me." And he said, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." Now that didn't Elisha ask Elijah, "Let me go back and say goodbye to my father?" This man says, "Let me go bury my father." Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." He doesn't say that all the others are going to hell. He just says that they're not alive. Knowing who I really am, rejoicing at it, being a close friend of mine, and knowing the thrill of that. So he blew it. Then the other guy says, "I'll follow you, Lord. But let me say farewell to those at home," like Elisha. Jesus said to him, now this is an allusion to Elisha, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back," remember, Elijah called him, he was plowing, "planter then looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." You can't look back. You've got to keep going. "Oh, if I'd have just married Gwendolyn." No, you can't do that. Look ahead. Follow the Lord. Trust the Lord. How many men can bear witness to a turning around in their life? Ready to quit. This is going nowhere. The bishop's a jerk, whatever. And then you come to know the Lord. You start a prayer life and you start to love him. Everything changes. Everything changes. You know, think twice before you ever tell the bishop, "No, I don't want that assignment." You can explain, "I find that very difficult, you know. I don't know Spanish, and 30% of the parish is Spanish." Or, you know, you can learn Spanish, little Spanish moron, speak it, you know. It's not a difficult language. But before you say no, think hard. You want a dialogue, if you can, with the bishop, fine. Because you see, those appointments are the way the Lord leads you through those work, through the suffering, to himself. And so be very careful not to be difficult, because you'll be the one who loses. And so Elisha wasn't difficult, and he followed him, and he started to raise the dead. Amen.